Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Congratulations on getting through 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here, Brandon Kiley here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Over the course of the show, we have done the Drive Jingle Tournament. We have 16 of the greatest jingles in Kansas City radio and TV history. We have narrowed them down to 4. We have the Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center. We have the Grass Pad, Menards, and Standard Improvement Company. We've had some very big upsets. Shawnee Mission Kia, out. Bob Hamilton Plumbing, out. Hy-Vee, Helpful Smile in Every Aisle, out. Thermal King Windows, very surprised that it was a first-round exit, out. Only 4 remain. We'll do that coming up at 4:30. We'll also talk about the biggest stories in Kansas City, and the biggest story in sports has nothing to do with Kansas City today. We'll get into it. Hit it, BK.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
1.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Mike Trout got the bag. Yeah, he got $430 million guaranteed. Can you imagine what you would do at your job if you were told, regardless of what you do, we owe you $430 million? Speck couldn't tell me anything if I had that kind of money. You think I'm listening to you? We're doing jingle tournaments. We ain't never talking sports. We're talking about what I want to talk about all the time. 100% of the time, that's all we're talking about.
Hit number 1 is brought to you by Broadway Deli.
$430 million, BK, guaranteed.
It's a good deal.
He could hit 210 next year. Check still clearing. That's a great job. That's a great job.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city. Now opening the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The Royals, CDOT, decided to put Ian Kennedy in the bullpen earlier today. That's according to Ned Yost. Now, Kennedy is scheduled to make $16.5 million each of the next 2 years. The only relievers in baseball making more than $16 million per year currently are Wade Davis and Aroldis Chapman. See, now, the contract's already bad. Where does it rank now among the worst that we've seen in Kansas City in recent years?
I think the Ian Kennedy contract is the worst one that Dayton Moore signed for a lot of different reasons. The biggest reason is he's not even doing what they told us he could do. At least Alex Gordon is still an elite-level defender, a high-end level of defender. When they got Ian Kennedy, it was told that he could eat innings. It's hard to eat innings as the long relief guy. We were told that he was a guy that could pitch 180 innings to 200 innings and could be a really and could be a guy who you could put there and be a pillar and depend on every 5 days. That has not been the case with Ian Kennedy. He was for the first season, but that did not continue as we moved on. It's been an absolute disaster. You chose to pay him during your window. He then had a player option, not even a team option, of 3 years, $48 million. Why would you not opt in? You're Ian Kennedy. Of course, I'll take $48 million guaranteed. He was terrible last year, and now he's locked in for $33 million over the last 2 seasons. If you look at some of the bad contracts, Alex Gordon's contract is not good, but it didn't stop you from doing a whole lot of the things you want to do, and I understand why the Royals felt like they had to pay Alex Gordon. If you look at Omar Infante's deal, certainly not a deal that stopped you from going out to go get Ben Zobrist or move in a different direction. The Ian Kennedy contract is not only a waste of money, it also blocks the space of a younger guy who can help you when it's time to move on. The Ian Kennedy contract is an absolute disaster.
2.
Hit number 2, Eric Berry was out in Dallas earlier today. He reportedly visited the Cowboys, but that visit ended without a contract on the table. The Cowboys just announced, actually, that they have instead signed Randall Cobb, the receiver formerly of the Packers. CDOT, Berry clearly wants to play next year. That much we just realized based on this visit and based on the reporting that we've heard. What do you think teams can realistically expect from him, though, if he does sign somewhere?
I don't know how you know the answer based on what we've seen in the past. I don't know how many games Eric Berry can play. Can he play a full 16? Are you counting on him playing 10? Are you counting on him playing 8? I just don't know what you can expect with Eric Berry. More than anything, I'm surprised there is as strong of a market there is. And reading Therese Paylor's report during the commercial break, it doesn't sound like Berry's going to sign the one-year prove-it deal. It sounds like Berry's signing a multi-year contract. I can't imagine giving that deal out to Eric Berry. I'm only interested in signing you to the one-year prove-it kind of deal and seeing what's happened. I'm not interested in signing Eric Berry to more than basically what the Chiefs just got Bashaud Breeland for. 1 year, $2 million, heavy incentives based on you staying healthy for a $5 million deal. Why would I commit anything further to Eric Berry, who's played four games in the last two seasons? That just doesn't seem like good business to me. The Cowboys, I thought, made a lot of sense because they are in desperate need of a safety. They wanted Earl Thomas, was a little bit too rich for their blood. He would make a lot of sense with the Cowboys. I still think that's a logical destination for him at the end. But if you're Eric Berry, first time you've been a free agent, take your time, decide what the best fit for you is, and go get paid.
Hit number three, we don't have any updates today on the Tyreek Hill story, but Adam Schefter, on his podcast earlier today, made the case that this is actually the single biggest story in all of professional football right now.
Who was in line this offseason to get a contract extension that was described to me at the Combine as starting with a two, meaning $20-plus million a year on average. And you wonder what's going to happen this offseason with everything surrounding this case that we still are waiting to get the details on that we don't know right now. Now, do you know why I was saying this could be the single biggest story of the offseason, and that includes the trade of Odell Beckham Jr.?
Carrington, there's a lot of caveats here. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what truly happened in this situation. There are still details to be worked out. But if Tyreek Hill in this hypothetical does end up getting released and the worst case scenario in this story is realized, how much do you think that changes the expectations for the Chiefs next season?
I do want to make this point before answering your question. We are at a standstill when it comes to Tyreek Hill information. If there was more information, I would share it with you. I don't really have much to say on the Tyreek Hill scenario because I don't really know what you can say based on the information that we have. I don't think too many people know the particulars and the details of the Tyreek Hill situation. We got the initial news on Friday. There was the reaction. There was a little bit of back and forth on Friday. And it's been a little bit of a standstill since then. And all of us are kind of waiting for what the next step is. I honestly don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. I think everything is on the table. I think that nothing happening to Tyreek Hill is on the table. And he doesn't miss a game. And he's there for week one. They don't answer questions in a press conference. And we all move on from it. I think it's possible that he's also not on the team. I think it's possible that he misses eight games. It's possible that he misses 10 games. Just knowing how inconsistent the punishment is in the NFL and the lack of information that we have so far, I just don't know how anyone can tell you they know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. If we're talking about worst case scenario with Hill, to answer your question, I think we got to see when we find out the news. Do you find out the news week two of the NFL season? Do you find out the information in 2 days from now? 2 days from now, you have way more than enough time via free agency and the draft to answer it. Does this get answered in August where you don't have a whole lot of time? I think that's the only way to really answer your question of what do the Chiefs do if the worst case scenario happens and Tyreek Hill isn't on the team next year?
Four.
Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. See, now you mentioned it earlier, Mike Trout, the richest man in the history of American team sports. He was just given a 12-year, $430 million extension from the Angels earlier today. Carrington, I think I know where you come out on this, but is there
$430 million?
Is there any player in team sports you'd give that kind of a deal to?
No! I don't think it's good business to pay one person that much money. What are the expectations? Like, Mike Trout is an incredible baseball player. Let's say that he continues to be the exact same player that he's been, but they don't win a World Series. Is this a good deal? Like, what do you have to accomplish to pay one person 12 years, $430 million? Now, don't get this confused. Hey, I'm all for it. Get as much money as they want to give you. It's a billion-dollar company. If they want to pay you $430 million to work for them, hey, you go ahead and sign that money. I see why you don't want to hit the open market. You want to take that guaranteed money. I just don't think it's good business to pay one employee that percentage of your salary cap, $36 million a year. Incredible amount of money for Mike Trout. And that concludes the hits for today. So Mike Trout got me thinking about this. And if we want to spin it local and look forward a little bit, A big reason of why I wouldn't spend that much money on Mike Trout is I don't think he's a superstar. I think there is a difference between great player and superstar. Kawhi Leonard, for example, in the NBA, a great player, not a superstar. There's a lot of really good players who I don't think have transcended to that next level where you think they're a superstar. I think that Mike Trout could walk around the plaza perfectly fine. I think that Mike Trout could go eat lunch at a normal place in Kansas City and no one bothers him because he's not that big of a star. So today I made a list. These are the American-born superstars that are playing in American sports. So there's no soccer player on the list. I didn't go Messi. I didn't go Ronaldo. I'm talking of basketball, football, baseball, American-born stars in today's game. This is the list I came up with. Brady, who is still the face of the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is incredible. Baker Mayfield is incredible. Whoever you think is incredible. Tom Brady is still the face of the NFL as long as he sits on the throne. Next, I think Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a superstar and conducts himself like a superstar. Has a deal with Adidas, face of a major brand in State Farm, dated Olivia Munn, dated Danica Patrick, the discount double check, won a Super Bowl ring, golden boy look. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a superstar. Aaron Rodgers, he could be the face of Nike. He could be the face of Apple. He could go on Jimmy Fallon. He could be in a movie. That's a true superstar, someone that transcends their sport and their brand does the same. I would still put Odell Beckham in that category. I'm not saying that he's Brady. I'm not saying that he's Rodgers. I think because of the catch, I think because of the hair, I think because of the dancing, because of the media market, I think that Odell Beckham is a superstar. That maybe he's not in certain demographics, like the 40 and over crowd. Ask 21-year-old kids about Odell Beckham and listen to how they talk about him. Odell Beckham is a huge superstar. I would still put him on the list. I think J.J. Watt is a superstar. I don't think his play maybe merits being on the list with some of these other guys, but I think just what he did off the field, being the face of Hurricane Relief for Hurricane Harvey, I think that J.J. Watt is deserving of being on the true superstar list because his name and brand transcended the sport for a six-month span. If we move on, Major League Baseball, I wouldn't put Trout on that list. I don't think Trout moves the needle. And people disagreeing on the text line, last year Mike Trout played in Kansas City. It averaged 15,000 people. To me, a superstar is someone that you buy a ticket specifically for. Like Zion Williamson is a superstar in the mindset of the tournament ratings are going to be up because Zion Williamson is a part of it. ESPN saw their best ratings over the last 15 years of college basketball because of Zion Williamson. He is the star. He is the face of college basketball. That's a superstar to me. Bryce Harper has a superstar model. He has a superstar buildup to me. We've known about him since he was a junior. He won MVP. He's a great player. Is he the player that Trout is? No, not even close. But I would put Bryce Harper in the superstar. You will go to the ballpark to see him. When he comes, it's a big deal. Clown question, bro, the hair. He is a bigger superstar to me than Mike Trout. I would also put Clayton Kershaw on this list because I think he's one of the players that you would go see. That if the Royals play the Dodgers in June, you want to know, is Kershaw pitching? And if Kershaw is pitching in that, if it's a random Tuesday, no promotion, no Buck Night, no none of that, I think that 25,000 people, 30,000 people are out there to watch Clayton Kershaw pitch. I think that Kershaw is one of those. If you want to put Scherzer on that list because he's from Missouri and he's a great pitcher, I understand that. I would maybe put Aaron Judge on this list. I wouldn't fault you if you consider Judge a superstar. Judge is certainly more of a superstar than Mike Trout is. Trout just has no buzz, no cachet. Like, we know what buzz and cachet is in American professional sports. Ken Griffey Jr. had buzz. He was somebody who your kids had their poster. You wanted to be Ken Griffey Jr. He had the hat. He had the Nike deal. He was the kid. Derek Jeter was a legitimate superstar. What's Trout? Who is Trout the face of?
I think people are kind of misrepresenting what you're saying as well. Like, you're not saying that he's not a good player.
He's a great player.
He's the best player. But there's a difference between transcending your sport and being a great player within your sport, right? Like, there are certain players in the NFL, offensive linemen, for instance. Joe Thomas was one of the best players in the history of the NFL. He was never a star because of his position, because of the team that he played for. Like, there are a number of different reasons why, but he was a great player. He wasn't a superstar. In baseball, Mike Trout, great player, not a superstar. To be a superstar, you have to transcend your sport. You have to be able to go on Good Morning America. You have to be able to be the face of a brand. Those are things that happen to superstars.
An example to me of someone who I think is a bigger superstar to drive the point home is Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie Irving is a bigger superstar than Mike Trout. Is he as good as his job as Mike Trout is at his job? No. Kyrie Irving has a major shoe deal with Nike. Your kids probably own Kyrie Irving shoes. You watch a basketball game and they wear Kyrie Irving. Zion Williamson wears Kyrie Irving shoes. He was in a major motion picture. He won a championship in an all-time iconic moment where he hit the shot in game 7. Like, Kyrie Irving is a superstar to me. Now, I think he's in a tier below them, but I'm talking a superstar makeup and build. Kyrie is the mold of what I'm talking about in being a superstar. In the NBA, LeBron, no question of his superstardom. Steph Curry. Steph Curry plays golf with the president of the United States. Like, he used to go play golf with Barack Obama. He goes on Ellen. He was on Entourage. That's a different level when it comes to superstar face of the league. Kevin Durant, I would consider a superstar. James Harden, I think I would consider him a superstar. Then your other stars, I would put Tiger, Serena, and I would probably put Michael Phelps in that. Like, Michael Phelps, I think, is still incredibly recognizable, won all the gold medals. He's not on this level, but I would put Michael Phelps in there. All I'm saying is we know what superstars in baseball look like, and we know when they move the needle. Are you great? Are you the lead of SportsCenter? Do people go by your jersey? Are you recognizable? If you dropped Mike Trout tomorrow in the plaza, it's not a big deal. He walks around, no hat, no sunglasses, no one cares. Now, some people come up to him and say, hey, you're Mike Trout, and they ask him for autographs. Imagine if that's Brady. Imagine if it's Rodgers. Imagine if it's LeBron. Imagine if it's Tiger Woods or Serena. It is a much bigger deal. I'm not saying that Trout's not a great player. He obviously is a great player. He might go down as top five all time in his profession. I don't know if when he's done, you're going to be able to name five better baseball players than him. He has no juice. He has no buzz. There's no juice, there's no buzz, there's nothing exciting. Now, how I think it relates to Kansas City is I think Mahomes is almost there. I think Mahomes is a year away from being this. A year away from. I think he is trending in that direction. I think he is a great player transitioning to be a superstar. Baker Mayfield is somebody. I think Baker has a chance to be a superstar. Let's say that Cleveland wins 12 games this year. Baker Mayfield will be a superstar by the end of the year. Just based on Cleveland, he was a really popular college player. He's really outspoken. He's going to be the face of major brands. Like, that's the new face of the league. If you ask Roger Goodell, who would you love to be the new faces of the NFL? He would tell you Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. They're up next. There's nothing wrong with being up next. That's where they are. They're up next. Just like in the NBA, Giannis is up next. Joel Embiid is up next. You're not at that level yet. But you have a really good postseason run. You win a championship. You play in the NBA Finals. You're up next. And that's where Mahomes is. Great player. Next up in the superstar list. 18 months away from being a superstar. 12 months away from being a transcendent superstar. Great player. He's just not on the Rodgers list yet. Rodgers had a national ad with State Farm. What's the biggest ad Mahomes has right now? Nationally. Hunt's Ketchup?
Probably. That'd be number one,
that's
right?
That's just not superstar yet. Superstar is you get during the NFL draft, Mahomes is in a big-time Adidas ad with all the Adidas athletes. That's superstar next kind of level. And I think Mahomes is right there. If you can be the best player in the NFL, you eventually become the superstar. Like Rodgers was the best player in the NFL. He became a superstar. It didn't matter what market you were in. Didn't matter if you were in Green Bay. Didn't matter if you were in Indianapolis. Think about it. The biggest, I would say, marketing machine we've seen in the NFL in the last 20 years played in Indianapolis and Denver. Didn't play in Miami. Didn't play in San Francisco. Didn't play in New York. Didn't play in Chicago. Peyton Manning is the biggest. I would still argue he's the biggest superstar in the sport still.
Markets matter in baseball. They matter a little bit in basketball, but much less. They don't matter at all in the NFL because the NFL is such a national sport that it doesn't matter where you play. They will find you if you reach those levels.
No, absolutely. And I think that's where we sit right now with Patrick Mahomes and the contract today that Mike Trout just signed for $430 million. On the subject of Ian Kennedy, why it frustrates me with the whole thing is I don't think that Dayton Moore has made a whole lot of mistakes. I don't think you can point at Dayton Moore and say, if you've accomplished what you've accomplished in Kansas City and turning around the Royals and winning a World Series and going to two of them, that you've made a lot of mistakes, you've made a lot of really good decisions. The Ian Kennedy contract is bad, and there's really no other way to put it. Now, you might be on the text line saying, well, what can they do now? I'm just a firm believer of sunk costs. Ian Kennedy's contract is a sunk cost. You owe Ian Kennedy $33 million whether he becomes the next Wade Davis or he fizzles out of the league and just says, you know what, I'm going to start shutting it down. I'm hurt today, coach. I can't go. My elbow hurts. It flared up on me. You owe Ian Kennedy $33 million regardless of what happens. That if I'm the Royals, I'm thinking of moving that contract. I'm thinking about moving on and trying to create space for other players. The Royals are in a spot of, this season doesn't matter from a win-loss record, and it's all about developing younger players. It kind of feels like a team that we don't think is going to make the NCAA tournament but still playing their seniors when you got freshmen. That's what they should be doing. That the best case scenario, BK, for Ian Kennedy, I'm curious if you agree. The best case scenario for Kennedy is he has a really good first half of the season. A team likes him. The Royals have to eat $20 million, and then in exchange, you get a low-level prospect for Ian Kennedy. I can't see there being a more better case scenario, at least in 2019. Now, I have no clue. Maybe he goes out there and he's lights out for the whole season. They decide to keep him and they want to make it work. But if we're factoring in two different things, Ian Kennedy was brought in to be a guy who you thought can eat innings. Very hard to do that from the bullpen. Very hard to do that as your seventh and eighth inning guy. Not even your closer, just as your transition potential long relief guy. He is the second highest paid player on the team. That I'm a firm believer of, a lot of times the numbers tell the story or how you recruit tells the story. The Royals have almost 50% of their payroll tied up into these three individuals. Alex Gordon, Ian Kennedy, Danny Duffy. That's why they're bad. The Alex Gordon contract has been a big disappointment for the Royals. The Ian Kennedy contract has been a big disappointment for the Royals. And I think Danny Duffy will tell you and was telling you yesterday, he knows that so far his contract has been a big disappointment for the Royals. And then you want to factor in their fourth biggest contract and Salvador Perez not playing this season. That normally tells the story. You've given out some bad contracts. You've had some injuries. Things likely won't work the way you want them to this season. But doesn't have to mean all is lost. You still got some young contracts, still got some good players, still got some guys that can be part of the building block when it comes to the foundation. But if I was the billionaire owner, and I know I'm not, and I'm really working on it. I'm really working on trying to get that Mike Trout money here, BK. And when I get it, I'm taking you with me. I would just say it's not going to work with Ian Kennedy. And we got to be willing and prepared to eat some of this money because we have to do so regardless. We got to be willing to eat at least $20 million that opens up space for a young guy and in a season in which it's not going to work out the way we want it to work out and we're not going to the playoffs. Let's try to use these potential 120 innings we were planning on giving Ian Kennedy. Let's give them to somebody to give them a more extended look and someone we think can be a part of this organization long term.
Sorry, I was doing something back here.
My bad. I apologize. So that's where I'm at when it comes to Ian Kennedy's contract. I would move on from it. I don't know if it's good business for the Kansas City Royals to continue to be in that contract. I want to play something for you guys really quickly because we were talking a lot about improving the roster and the Chiefs kind of knowing right now what their plan is long term. And I think we've seen a little bit of what their plan is. Like their plan has been, I think, to go out there and get a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, who you think can be a staple for this team. I think it was also going out and get a guy like Alex Okafor, who I think can be a staple for this team. Certainly a tier two kind of guy when it comes to pass rush. I would say step three was going to get a veteran corner. This is what Kent Swanson had to say and maybe our evaluation of Breshad Breeland as a Chiefs sign a one-year deal. He doesn't think that he's too much different than Steven Nelson.
I think they're kind of in that same tier. You know, they're low-end number two corner type players. And you know, Steve Nelson, he wanted more money and he got more money, more power to him. He's got more athleticism. He's got more in his athletic ability. And I think that upside is what people are kind of banking on, especially, you know, the Steelers. I think that's what they look for. Breeland, he's no slouch himself though either. And, I'd kind of call them in that same range, but the Chiefs got one for cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely got one for cheaper with Breshad Breeland. I think if we're looking ahead for the Kansas City Chiefs and what they should be doing, I think over the next 6 weeks, let's call it 6 weeks, I think this needs to be the plan. You still need one more corner. I don't think it's imperative that you get one in free agency anymore, but I still think you need one more corner. That now when it comes to it, you can take best available player, at either offensive lineman in the first round. Wouldn't be exciting, but I wouldn't fault them if they took a guard in the first round or a tackle if that was their first selection. Again, wouldn't be ideal. I would probably go defense, but I wouldn't fault them based on the moves they made in free agency, and I still think they got one more veteran move in them. I would like for them to go corner. I like for them to go defensive lineman. Wouldn't fault them if they went offensive line, because I think there's certainly a need for this team, and it's about strengthening that position and helping Mahomes. But I still think the corner is a need. I don't think they're done at the position. I don't think they're done when it comes to corner. I don't think they're done when it comes to rushing. In fact, I know they're not done when it comes to rushing. They don't have anybody who can consistently get to the quarterback aside from Chris Jones. So there's still some work to be done when it comes to this defense. Have they made some improvements? I think they made improvements. Pass rush is still a problem for this team, but I think they're moving in the right direction when it comes to the back half of their defense and the secondary. I think they made a nice move in picking up Bashaud Breeland. Even if he's Steven Nelson, it's a one-year, $2 million deal, and it's $5 million in incentives. I'm not going to fault you for that contract. You go get one more corner in free agency, or you spend a high draft pick on a corner, first, second round. You got 2 second-round picks. You go get that. Who knows what you can do in a trade. You go get a veteran pass rush. You go get a Clay Matthews. You go get a Ziggy Ansah. You go get Ndamukong Suh. I think the plan is starting to come together for the Kansas City Chiefs. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. We have reached the final four in championship round of our Drive Jingle Tournament. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. We conclude our Drive Jingle Tournament next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Text line 69306, and we'll get to the Jingle Tournament. A lot of people are really upset about the Mike Trout point. Guy was very upset. I think he's clearly from California. You should stop talking. You should quit your job. He's the greatest player of our generation, not a superstar. Go home. He chooses to avoid the limelight. Go home. And then I text him back. I said, isn't being in the limelight what makes you a superstar? He said, you mean a celebrity, a baseball player. He's a baseball player. He's the best at it. He's a superstar to the sport, not to Entertainment Weekly. That's part of being a superstar. Again, I think people are confusing great player with superstar. LeBron is a great basketball player and also transcendent when it comes to entertainment. We're talking about two different things. That's fine. Jordan was a superstar because he was the greatest basketball player and you wore his tennis shoes. You wanted to be Michael Jordan. You bought Gatorade. You bought Wheaties. You bought Duracell batteries. You bought Hanes underwear because you wanted to be Michael Jordan. That's not Mike Trout. That's perfectly fine.
Tiger Woods fits into that.
I mean, he makes $430 million. He's got a guarantee. He lives in Los Angeles. He can do whatever he wants. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being Mike Trout. Not everybody wants that kind of popularity. Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to be that popular. But part of superstardom is you go on Jimmy Fallon. You go on Jimmy Kimmel. That's what makes you a superstar. He's a star, no doubt. He's recognizable. You know who he is. The best player in the game. He's just not a superstar. Like, Mahomes has a chance to be on – like, Mahomes has a chance to be on Saturday Night Live at some point if he wants to be. Like, Mahomes can be that good at some point. He's on Saturday Night – that's superstardom. Superstardom is hosting Saturday Night Live. Mike Trout, that's not him. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. All right, we continue our Drive Jingle Tournament, and it has been a doozy. Well, I would say it hasn't really been a doozy for our guy, BK, but it has been a doozy for the rest of us. He seeded this thing very poorly. Very poorly.
People are real upset about it.
That's what they're most mad. I think people have lost enjoyment in the concept because your seeding is so bad. So I'm blaming you for the downfall of this.
Oh, okay. I think it's gone pretty well, things considered.
So we have four left. We have Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center. We have Standard Improvement Company. The Grass Pad. And Menards. Menards should have been out of here a long time ago. Menards, no shade against Menards.
It should have lost in the first round to Pizza Street.
It's not Bob Hamilton Plumbing. I'm a little disappointed that Bob Hamilton Plumbing and Alaskan Fur didn't make it here. But you guys pick. All right. So we'll go through the four one more time. And then we'll decide a winner of Kansas City's greatest jingle. Landon, you are up first in our final four. We go to the 16 seed. Has pulled off two shocking upsets. Hit it, BK.
The 16 seed, the Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center.
Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center. Don't suffer in silence.
All right. It's going up against the 12 seed. A little surprise that it's here, but it's here in the final four. Hit it, BK.
The 12 seed Standard Improvement Company.
For better living now and better values later. So Standard Improvement Company at Westport 17100.
All right, Landon, it is up to you in the final four. Are you taking Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center or Standard Improvement Company in the Drive Jingle Tournament?
I'm going to keep it rolling with the 16 seed, Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center.
All right.
I should have known.
All right. It is not suffering in silence.
I should have known this was going to happen.
Okay.
I blame you.
No, don't blame me. I told you not to seed him, and you were like, no, we got to seed him. It's easier. I'm like, all right, my bad. Okay.
How else would we have done it?
All right. We go to Ben. You determine the championship matchup. We've got the 2 seed, the grass pad.
The 2 seed, the grass pad.
Come on down to the grass pad. The grass pad's high on grass.
That's the 2 seed, the grass pad. I think you'd have to say it's the favorite. Up against the 14 seed.
The 14 seed, Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Ben. You have
There's the grass pad
or Menards?
No question. Grass pad all the way.
All right. Grass pad. We've got, I think probably should have been in the 1 and the 2. We've got Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center up against grass pad. We'll play them one more time for Ryan. Ryan, you and you alone determine who wins the Drive Jingle Tournament.
I'm counting on you, Ryan.
We have the 16 seed that has fought its way in some epic matchups.
The 16 seed, the Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center.
Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center. Don't suffer in silence.
That's fighting out of the West region. South region might actually be more appropriate. And then we've got the grass pad.
The 2 seed, the grass pad.
Come on down to the grass pad. The grass pad's high on grass.
All right, Ryan, in our very scientific, very official Drive Jingle Tournament, which are you picking to win? Are you picking Midwest Hemorrhoid Treatment Center or the grass pad as the greatest jingle in Kansas City history?
Oh, this is a lot of pressure. I'm gonna go chalk. I'm gonna go grass pad, 2 seed. It's iconic. It's been around for years and years.
All right. It's over. The winner of the 2019 Drive Jingle Tournament is the 2 seed grass pad.
Give me one sec.
The 2 seed, the grass pad.
Come on down to the grass pad. The grass pad's high on grass.
Congratulations to grass pad. And it is the winner of the Drive Jingle Tournament.
I think a worthy winner as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the favorite going in. I thought that was the favorite. Shawnee Mission Kia, you didn't really seed it right. You put it up against Don't
Shawnee
Suffer
Mission
in Silence
Kia
in round one. It wasn't, no, nothing was advancing in round one over Don't Suffer in Silence.
It was a late addition, I gotta be honest.
I mean, it barely made the tournament. So the fact for it to get to the championship game, I mean, that's a VCU, that's a Wichita State kind of run that it made in the tournament.
I think basically what we learned from this, somebody that plays either tonight or tomorrow is making a run this year. The first 4 games, they're going to be really important.
No, 100%. I can't argue with anything that you're saying when it comes to that. So the Eric Berry thing is like really interesting to me about him going to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if it's interesting to you or not, BK. I'm really curious to see what happens with Eric Berry and what kind of market forms. And I'll be very curious to see how his contract is structured whenever it's done. I don't know when it's going to be done. I don't know what team he's going to end up going to. I'm just going to be very curious to see how their contract is structured. Because if you look at the Chiefs, and we looked this up today, why are we talking about Eric Berry is. So we looked at a 2-year window for the Kansas City Chiefs, a 3-year window for the Chiefs. Because I think too many times that fans, we kind of look 4 or 5 years down the line in the NFL. That's just not how the league works. So we looked up their opening day roster in 2017. There's only 5 guys that are still on the team from week 1 of 2017 when they went to New England and they won the game. You remember Alex Smith, Kareem Hunt. You guys remember everything that happened in that week 1 game. I would say the biggest regular season win for the Chiefs since Montana Magic. It was that kind. It was that iconic of a win, I would say. There's only five starters remaining from that team, only one left on defense. Travis Kelce still on the team, Fisher, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Mitchell Schwartz, and Chris Jones. That's it when it comes to. That's it. Those are the only guys still left on the team that went into New England and defeated the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think the way that these contracts have been structured, whether it's with Tyrann Mathieu, Alex Okafor, Damian Wilson, Carlos Hyde, and Bashaud Breeland, it has been to give you the best chance to win in 2019, which that's how they should be thinking. I think they should be looking at this as a three-year window. I'm not saying that they can't be good whenever Mahomes is 27 years old, but the financial ramifications of the NFL is he's going to be the highest paid player in the history of the league. It's just going to be harder to build the amount of talent and add some of the contracts and salaries that they've been able to do unless guys are willing to take less money to play with Mahomes, and let's see if that happens. But we have no way of knowing right now. Like, Tyrann Mathieu didn't have to take less money to come play for the Chiefs, excuse me. So Tyrann Mathieu, so if you add up the salaries right now of all four or five of the guys that they've signed so far, Tyrann Mathieu, Alex Okafor, Damian Wilson, Carlos Hyde, Bashaud Breeland. If you added up all five of their cap hits for 2019, it's going to be less than what they were planning on paying D Ford. But I liked D Ford. I still would have liked for D Ford to be on the team. But if you're telling me, in one hand, I just have D Ford and his potential double-digit sacks and also potential injury and also potential lack of scheme fit and all those things. And then on the other hand, you got Tyrann Mathieu, Alex Okafor, Damian Wilson, Carlos Hyde, Bashaud Breeland. I see why the Chiefs went in the direction that they went in. Tyrann Mathieu, $6 million cap hit. Alex Okafor, $3 million cap hit. Damian Wilson, $2 million cap hit. Carlos Hyde, a $1.5 million cap hit, and then some incentives. Bashaud Breeland, the exact same thing. The Chiefs have structured contracts in such a way that maximize their opportunity to win over the next couple of years, because it is about to get a lot harder once you pay Mahomes. You'll have 1 year of cap relief. If I would imagine they're going to structure the deal in which Mahomes' cap hit is not very big in year one, it's going to balloon in year two, the same way the Jimmy Garoppolo's deal signed. I'm guessing the Chiefs are going to do some fun with numbers, and they're going to fidget something, and his cap hit's going to be like $40 million if they cut him, or his dead cap money. They're obviously not cutting Mahomes. It's going to be structured in a way to give them a two-year window. The best chance the Chiefs have to win a Super Bowl over the next two are over, I would say over Mahomes' entire career, from a clearly financial standpoint, not based on how he's going to play, just based on the finances and players you can add. You're not going to be able to have Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill on a new contract once Mahomes gets the bag. You're not going to do it. You're not going to be able to maybe take care of Travis Kelce a little bit down the line, or whatever else pops up, or Kendall Fuller. Like, at some point, you're going to have to tell somebody no. That I remember saying, the hardest thing that Dayton Moore ever had to do was to be able to tell people no. That eventually he had to tell Kane no, or Moose no, or Hosmer no. The exact same thing's about to happen to the Chiefs, where maybe Kendall Fuller, you have to tell him no. You got to tell Travis Kelce, you have, hey, I know you play like the best tight end in the NFL and contracts are going up, but we can't afford to give you a new one. We got to go in a different direction. That's when it became hard for Seattle. BK, you remember. They were in the same situation that the Chiefs were in. You had your quarterback. He was playing on a rookie contract. He was far exceeding his deal. His contract was even better than Mahomes based on the fact that he wasn't a first-round draft pick. And then you could do some different things. You could go trade for Jimmy Graham. You could do some different things when you had him on that rookie contract. And then when he got paid, you couldn't pay Earl Thomas. So you had to piss off Earl Thomas. You couldn't pay Cam Chancellor, who you know set out for the first, what, six games of a season. You couldn't pay Richard Sherman. Had to let him go. Now, some of it, play diminished, guys got older. That's just the business of the NFL. But, man, if you're looking at the Chiefs, their best chance to win a Super Bowl over the next 2 years or over the next 10 years from a financial standpoint is over the next two with how guys' contract are structured. Coming up in just a little bit, we did our jingle tournament. Let's get back into the real NCAA tournament coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. What's the likelihood that Mahomes is strategic enough to take a Brady-esque contract, which leaves room to pay more supporting talent? Brady is the only one that does this. And we can ask this question all the time. I'm not going to fault Mahomes if he wants what he's worth. I'm not going to fault him. You got to think, the league already caps what you can make. It's a salary cap kind of league, so get all the money that you can. I'm not going to fault him if he does that. Every quarterback other than Brady, when their contract comes up, takes the most money. Now, some of them structure their way. They structure their contract in a way. So basically, if you don't know, it's like a restructure is just you can turn some money into you can turn some base salary into signing bonus. Like, you can be flexible with the organization. But think back to last year when the number was floated about $200 million. It happened the day of the AFC Championship game. Do we think that the day of the AFC Championship game that Adam Schefter was just like, oh, you know what we should talk about today? $200 million from Mahomes. No, I think his agent has been telling people that number if that's what they're shooting for. I think his agent has been looking at these other contracts and seeing that guys like Kirk Cousins are getting $84 million. Kirk never won anything, Cousins. Kirk never won a playoff game. Kirk can't beat teams over 500. Got $84 million fully guaranteed. He got a baseball contract. I think you look at what Aaron Rodgers got at 35 years old that we've never seen anything like what Mahomes is about to do. Mahomes is going to be 24, one MVP, maybe a Super Bowl under his arm. Maybe. Maybe one Super Bowl. I think Mahomes is going to try to hit the Chiefs over the head. I don't know about you guys. If I'm his agent, the conversation starts at, I want 6 years, $200 million, $125 million fully guaranteed to my client. That's where the conversation starts. Why accept anything less? If you're Mahomes, you're 24. You could sign two of these things by the time you're done. Like Mahomes could make like $500 million in his NFL career. You know, like he can make $500 million. He could get this $200 million deal. He could then be in line to get another deal at the end of it if he's still healthy. Like Mahomes is in line to make a lot of money. So you're right. Maybe he takes that Brady-esque deal. Just asking you guys, if you got a $1 billion company ready to give you that much money, you're just giving them back money? I don't think that's it. Someone else in text line says, well, those people are just stupid to give Kirk Cousins that money. That's just what it costs to play quarterback in the NFL. That's what it costs. Now, you might not think that highly of Kirk Cousins. Someone was going to give him that contract because that's what it costs to play quarterback in the league. If you're capable the way Kirk Cousins is capable, that's what it costs. If you're an elite high-end level quarterback the way that Patrick Mahomes is, that's what it costs. Like, you don't go in and try to haggle the people at the Apple store. You know, a MacBook's a quality product. That's what it costs. That's what Mahomes is. He's the MacBook in this. Yeah, you're not getting the MacBook on a deal. Like, you aren't walking in and getting the 200 or you aren't getting the 2020 MacBook with the Retina and all that stuff. You're not getting it for $1,000. Not what it is. Not what it is. Like, that's how much it costs. So, yes, you are absolutely getting he is going to make at least $125 million guaranteed. And that might really be me being generous, I would say. That might be generous on what I think he can get from a contract perspective. For the NCAA tournament, I think it's kind of obvious how this one's going to go. It's Duke or North Carolina's to lose. I'm trying to think of the team I would pick if it wasn't for those two teams. Maybe Michigan. Maybe Michigan State.
Virginia. I mean, I know.
Not even that. I don't trust Virginia's style to win six straight games in the NCAA tournament. I don't trust it. I got to see it at some point. Maybe they do it. Maybe this is the year that Virginia breaks down the wall and then they win the NCAA tournament. They're certainly capable enough of doing it. Go to a Final Four first. We can start having these conversations. I'm not even bringing up the fact of last year you got blown out by UMBC. I'm just saying is I just got to see a little bit more on the court before I'm willing to pencil in Virginia. This is clearly Duke's to lose, I think, based on the talent. I would say one is Duke. I would say two and real close to them is North Carolina. Carolina, oddly enough, is maybe like the most underappreciated team in this. Like, they might actually be better than Duke. And then I think there's a pretty sizable gap between them and whoever you think the third best team is in college basketball. Like, I think there's some good teams. Like, Virginia's a good team. I don't think they're at the same level of those other two teams. I think Michigan's a good team. I think Michigan State's playing good basketball. I think there's a pretty decently sized gap between those teams. So I was watching First Take earlier today. Maybe that was my first mistake. And they were talking about, would you rather have the ACC or the field in the tournament? Seems fairly obvious. You would take the ACC. You're going to give me 3 1-seeds, and you can have all the other teams. There aren't that many good teams this year in college basketball. Like, I feel like we say this every year, BK. There aren't that many good teams in college basketball. Duke has a chance to be a great team if Zion stays healthy. Carolina, I think, is a really good college team. Not a great transcendent team, but a good team in college basketball. That's kind of about it. Gonzaga, good college team. Nothing spectacular about Gonzaga. Tennessee had a good regular season. LSU, prior to all the stuff that was going on, good season. There's some good college teams in this. The top of the college basketball tournament is just not very strong. Duke and Carolina are incredibly strong. There's like four good teams, I would say. Like, I would put Michigan, Michigan State, Virginia. They're in that good team region. And then after that,
Gonzaga,
it's just,
Kentucky, I would add.
And but, I mean, right now, P.J. Washington, he's walking around in a boot.
I saw that.
So it's just you take your pick, which is going to make for, I think, a very top-heavy, I think somewhat predictable when it comes to Duke and Carolina. But I think the rest of the tournament's going to be fun. Like, don't let my I think we know the two teams confuse you. It's going to be a fun NCAA tournament because there's going to be a Loyola Chicago in this. There's going to be a team that makes the Elite Eight run that's a double-digit seed because this year's tournament's that wide open. This year's tournament is that wide open. I think it's going to be a really fun tournament. I just think we know in terms of the top and the high end. I could see this being a really chalky Final Four, but a lot of chaos and commotion the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament just based on seeds, matchups, and all those kind of things. Thank you so much for listening. Go on 610sports.com. Also, check out the podcast on iTunes. Also, do us a favor and download the radio.com app. Back again tomorrow after us. It's actually Bink at Night. I'm sure Bink is going to break down Ian Kennedy. He's going to give you a lot of basketball talk. No football at all coming up at Bink at Night. Catch you again tomorrow. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.